take it out of there and mold it and play with it and do what you want to. And I'll get back to you with it here in a little bit. See what you can make out of it if you wouldn't care, please. You know something? I read a report this week. It was about two. One of them was a grade school, and one of them was a daycare, nursery, daycare for young kids. Anyway, what they done was the grade school, they decided that they wanted to, what they wanted to do was they wanted to take the chain link fence down around their playground. And why they did it for was they thought that that promoted those kids not really being free thinkers. They thought it confined them. That's what they were thinking. But anyway, they took it down because they thought that it would promote for the kids to be more free thinking and more, they wouldn't be confined. So they took the fence down, and lo and behold, they took the kids outside. Of course, they were watching them, took them out and let them play out in the playground. And you know what the kids did? They were afraid, and they stood right in the middle of the playground and didn't play. These grade school kids were afraid. They were like this for a while. And then, of course, after a while, you know how kids are. You know, if they weren't watching, they'd go outside of the confined space where they were supposed to go, right? Well, also this daycare, they decided, they had just built this daycare, and they decided, well, they weren't going to have a fence around it either. Had a real nice playground. So lo and behold, they take the kids outside to play, and the kids were right next to our busy highway. Of course, it was far enough away where they couldn't get hurt, but it was right next to a busy highway. And the kids were so afraid that they stood up against the building and wouldn't even play. And you say, what's all this means? You know what this means to me? Kids need boundaries, right? Kids need boundaries to feel safe, to keep them safe, to do the things that they need to do in their lives. And, you know, this being Youth Sunday, I'm going to meddle a little bit with you today if you don't care. We're going to talk about boundaries for kids, okay? Let's do a little bit of that today. We're going to be over in Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. Ephesians, the 6th chapter, 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You've heard those scriptures for years, right? Well, let's talk. Let's let the Lord lead and guide and direct our hearts this morning. Let's talk about it a little bit and see what we can come up with this. We don't care. Let us pray. Fathers, we come, Lord, today. Lord, we come with thanksgiving in our heart, Lord. I want to thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be before you this morning, Lord. I pray, Father, that this morning, Lord, that you know what? That the hearts would be receptive this morning. And that, Father, that this word would be used in a way to be pleasing unto you, Father, that it would go out. And the Father, that we would take it, Lord, and use it for the upbuilding of your kingdom and for your glory. I pray, Father, with all honesty, Lord, this morning, get me out of the way. Help me to be the Christian. Help me to be the preacher that you'd have to be here this morning. In Jesus' name we pray and ask. Amen. Amen. I want to tell you what, I want to praise the Lord this morning. You know what, like the song of Rocky talked about there a little bit ago, you know what? I hope to be praising the Lord no matter what happens on this day. Amen. I hope to be praising Him no matter whether it may be good or whether it may be bad to come upon my life today, Dale. I hope by the end of this day that I can say be glory to the God of all and praise Him for what He's done. Amen? I want to be able to do that. Billy Graham once said, children will invariably talk, eat, and walk, and think, and respond, and act like their parents. Can you say amen to that? They will. And I want to tell you something. Give them a good target to shoot at. Amen? Give them something that, praise God, when they look at you as parents, they'll say with all honesty and with as much pride as they can muster on this earth, I want to be like mom and dad. Amen? We need to be able to give them something. Give them a target to shoot. Give them the goal to work for. As parents, we need to do that. Give them a pattern that they can see clearly. And you will give them something that they cannot buy with silver and gold. Amen? You will do that. What boundaries need to be established in a child's life? What boundaries need to be established? And I want you to know, what fences, and part of it, whenever you put a fence up, there are boundaries that need to be established in a child's life. Whenever you're building fence, I know some of you in here have built fence. I know you have. You know what? Whenever you build a fence, all those posts are important, but the main posts are those ones that are on those corner posts. Amen? Those are the ones, brothers, that they need to be put up there, and whatever it takes, they need to be solid, because you know what? You may have to pull fence off. You may have to stretch that fence off those corner posts. And I want to give you four pillars this morning. I want to give you four corner posts this morning that I believe. Brothers and sisters, if we do it, I'll tell you what, we can raise children this morning. We can raise God-fearing children. And one of these days, as a parent, when you stand before the Lord, He's going to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Amen? And I want you to know something this morning. Do not think that when you stand before God one of these days, that you're not going to stand account for what you do with your children down here on this earth. Amen? Because you're going to give an account for it just as well as you're going to give an account for what you've done, whether spiritually or not. Amen? You will do that. I'll tell you what, the first corner post that we need to set, and wherever we set these boundaries, brothers and sisters, is discipline. Discipline, whenever there's disobedience, there needs to be discipline. Whenever there's disrespect, there needs to be discipline. Whenever there's dishonesty, there needs to be discipline. And whenever there's doing harm, and whatever I mean by doing harm to others or to property or whatever it needs to be, brothers and sisters, I want you to know something this morning, and I've got the Bible to back me up, there needs to be discipline involved in it. Amen? But it needs to be done. And discipline needs to be part of it. Well, you know what? There are some who would question why we discipline. Well, you know what? If you turn over to Hebrews, the 12th chapter, begin with the 6th verse. You can read over there if you want to with me. It says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. For if we endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is in whom does the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all the partakers then are bastards and are not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of the flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of the spirits and live? For verily, for there a few days chasteneth us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of holiness." Amen. "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." I want you to know something, brothers and sisters. You know what? Why should we have discipline for our children? Because the Bible plainly states that whenever we do wrong, God will put discipline to us, right? He will do that. How does he do it? Brothers, you know what he'll do? He'll take away those spiritual fruits that we bear sometimes. You know what? Galatians 5:22 tells us, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." When we go outside the boundaries that God has established for us, listen to me, our joy level will go down. Amen? Our love level will go down. Our peace level will go down. Our long-suffering, our gentleness, our kindness, our faith, our meekness, our temperance level, they all will go down whenever we go outside the boundaries that God has given for us as children of God. Amen? So why should we not discipline our children whenever they go outside the boundaries that we set for them? I'm telling you, I believe it. And if we do not respond to the loss of these privileges, I want you to know something. Our punishment could even be greater as Christian people. It can be. I'll tell you what, I've seen people that just constantly push the boundaries and go out and try to do what they want to do, not listening to the Holy Spirit or the Bible in their lives. And I'll tell you what happens. You notice that they quit coming to church sometimes. The Spirit of God quits dealing with them. And I'll tell you what, you don't think that they're not punished? Praise God, whenever our kids do wrong, they need to be punished. They need to have discipline in their lives. Amen? Just like God does with us. It's a lifelong process, brother. Look at that Play-Doh that I give you right here. I want to tell you to look at that. Romans 9:21 tells us, "Has not the potter power over the clay?" You know what? As the potter, as we take this Play-Doh and we mold that Play-Doh that you're playing with, I want you to know something. You know what happens with a young child? You only have a certain amount of time to mold that young child into what you would have them to be. If you take that Play-Doh and you mold it, and you let that Play-Doh set out there, what's going to happen to that Play-Doh after a certain amount of time? It's going to dry out. There's not going to be much use for it. Am I right? Amen. Listen to me. I'm going to tell you something. You cannot start disciplining a child whenever they're a teenager and expect to get by with it then. You better start when they're young. You better make sure that you start and let them know when they're young that, you know what, this is what's going to happen if you do this. Amen? All right, I'm going to tell you what. Yes, I'm going to meddle a little bit today. I'm going to meddle. I get tired of the tail wagging the dog. You ever heard that saying before? I get tired. The child telling the parent what they're going to do. That ain't the way God ever intended it. That's not the way that it should be. I want you to know something this morning, brothers and sisters. I've seen my share of it. I've been out in the stores, and I've seen the child have an absolute fit out in a grocery store because they didn't get what they wanted. And you know what? I tell you what, mommy and daddy's right there. Oh, you got to settle down. You got to do this. I tell you what, they're embarrassing you. Have a little revenge right then and there.
Amen.
But preacher, you don't know what people will think. I'm going to tell you what, I want to know what God thinks more than I want to know what people think. Amen? I believe what the Bible says. And you know what, you've only got a short amount of time to make an impression on them. And you say, well, you know what, once that clay is molded, and once it is dried out, it's going to be hard to get that clay to do anything after that. We can't do it. You can't wait till they're teenagers. Proverbs 22:6 tells us, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to stand on that this morning. I'm going to believe in that this morning. I don't care what Dr. Phil says. I don't care what Dear Abby says. I'm going to believe what the Word of God says this morning. Amen? That's what we've got to do. You know what? Let's finish this on discipline right now. Let's do it. It must always be motivated in love. Amen? And that's the next post I want to talk about, love. So we're just going to go right into it. But any discipline must be motivated in love. Proverbs 3:11-12. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father, the son in whom he delighteth. I want you to know something this morning. If you love your children, you're going to correct them. You know that? You're just going to let them go and go and go. You're going to correct that child. Amen? You're going to do that. You know what? Ephesians 6:4 tells us, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admiration of the Lord. Colossians 3:21, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Love is more than a feeling. Love is an action. I use this example, and I know it's crude. If I tell you that I love my wife, and I tell you that I love her, and I grab her and take her up on the stage and I slap her, how many of you is going to believe that I love her? Besides me getting in trouble. I'd never do that, by the way. Don't ever think that I would ever do that. But I tell you, that's the same thing. Love is something more than me telling you that I love you. You know what? When you say that you love these kids, when you say that you love them, show them that you love them. Show them that you love them. And I'll tell you what, you're going to get more. I'm going to tell you what, kids are not dumb. Kids are not stupid. They know. They can see if you love them or not. They know that. God showed us that He loved us, did He not? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Amen? I'm going to tell you what, God cared enough about us that He showed us that He loved us. I want to ask you something. We as parents, and I believe as parents, we've got to show our kids that we love them. You know, seeing loving action in our home. One survey showed for every positive statement that's made in a home, now listen to this, there's 10 negative ones made. 10 negative statements. You know what? You praise your kids, maybe 10 more of the times you'll be bringing them lower than dirt sometimes. I don't know. I'm not all parents like that. We have an amazing capacity to criticize, do we not? Oh, we've got all of it. There isn't a soul in here that doesn't have an amazing capacity to criticize if we want to. Amen? And I'll tell you what, it could be a young parent or it could be an old parent. They have this amazing capacity that their kids sometimes just ain't quite good enough, right? I'll tell you what, we've got to watch that. We got to watch it. We need to praise our children. We need to praise them in their strength instead of harping on their weaknesses. We've got to praise them in their strength. 1 Corinthians 8:1, knowledge puffeth up. But what's it say? But charity edifies us. What's charity? It's love. I'll tell you what. We get all this knowledge. We can pump all this knowledge we want to into what they want, and what they need is love. Amen? We can do it to everybody else. But we fail to do it with our children sometimes. Galatians 6:10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Can we not apply this to our own households? Can we not do that? As Christians, can we not say, you know what? As the scripture says, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good. Let us love our kids. Let us show them that we love them. Can we apply this to our house? Yes, we can. I'll tell you what, children need to see that their parents are in love. Can I say that to you honestly and truthfully today? They need to see it. They need to know that their parents are in love with one another. Amen. They need to see it. I want to tell you something. They're going to be grossed out when you give her a big hug and a kiss right in front of them. Oh, Mom, oh, Dad, do you have to do that? Yes, do it. Yes, do it. Hug and kiss in front of them and show them that you are in love. And I want to tell you something. You'll show them how to love. You'll show them what's needed in their life, what they need in their life. But you know what? Children need that. Another corner post we need to share with our children is our time. Ephesians 5:16, redeeming the days. It says redeeming the time because the days are evil. Brothers and sisters, I'll tell you what, are these days not evil that we live in? Should we not be redeeming the time that we have with our children? Should we not do that? Should we not do? These are dangerous times for our kids. They're dangerous. As parents, as grandparents, as aunts, as nieces, as uncles and nephews, we need to spend as much time as possible with these kids. We do. As much time as we possibly can. You know what? You want to see the decline? And I know some of you in here know this for a fact. Over the last 25 years, attending clubs like Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts and all that kind of thing has dropped off 58%. 58%. I know Paul can tell you that, and all those others that have been in these scouting and all this stuff has dropped off. Sitting down to a supper with a whole family has declined 33%. That just don't happen anymore. It don't happen anymore. And you know what? Another thing, having friends over. Just having friends over sometimes has dropped off 45%. You know why? Because we do not have the time or want to put out the effort for relationships. And you know, oh my, it goes right down to our children's where it goes to. That's where it goes. Why children in so much trouble? Because they spend more time in front of a TV, in front of a computer, and with friends who are not quite the friends that they need to be. They spend more time with them than they do with their parents. And we wonder why our children are the way that they are sometimes. They need our presence more than they need our presence. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We want to buy them things all the time and want to give and give and give to make up for maybe us not being there. And we can't do that. That's not the way it should be. They want our presence. That's what they want. They need that more than anything else. Got a multiple choice question for you, so I want you to help me out with this, would you? I got four things I got for you here. Yeah, I want you to answer back to me. Only one of these you can take to heaven. All right? Only one of these you can take to heaven. Number A, your house. B, your money. C, your job. Or D, your children. Amen. That's the only thing you can take to heaven with you. The only thing that you can take to heaven with you out of that bunch right there, the greatest responsibility of any parent would be to see their children accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. The greatest responsibility. I don't care who you are and what kind of a parent you are. You know as well as I do, whenever my kids got to an altar and got on their knees and got saved, that was the happiest day of my life. Amen? And it is for you also. And if your children are too young yet, you know what? You need to keep talking to them. John Wesley's mother. I'm going to tell you a little story about John Wesley and Charles Wesley's mother. And of course, they were great evangelists at their time. That's who they were. And what their mother did, she had 17 kids. Now get a load of this. She had 17. She would get on her knees every day and pray for every one of them kids for an hour. 1 hour every day, she would get on her knees and pray for all 17 of her children. 1 hour a week, she would also take every one of them kids and set them aside and talk to them about Jesus. Talk to them about the Bible. She did it. She made sure. Parents, let's don't get lazy. Amen? I'm going to tell you what, let's don't get lazy. I want to see your kids. I want to see my children make it to heaven one of these days. And I'll tell you what, so many times we get home, we're tired. But brothers, we need to make sure that we pray with them. We need to make sure that we read the Bible with them. We need to make sure that they know that Jesus Christ is the most important thing in your life. And He should be the most important thing in their life one of these days. Amen. That's the greatest responsibility we could ever have. The greatest responsibility we could ever have would be that. You could always find... You know what always made me wonder? We can always find time for everything else. If I want to go fishing, if I want to go hunting, if I want to go shopping, I can always find time for that. But praise God, whenever it comes to doing stuff for the Lord sometimes, it's hard to find time for that sometimes, is it not? Is it not? We can find time for sporting events. We can find time for everything else. But when it comes time for our children, that should be the most important thing to make sure they're saved. Psalm 90:12. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Have Him to show us. Have Him to show us. We only have a limited amount of time, like I've told you. And that is a positive influence on our children, just like that Play-Doh. If we left them, we could play that Play-Doh and leave it out and play with it, and like I said, it's going to dry. It's going to dry out, and then it's not going to happen. We have to make the most of what we have, the opportunities we have. And I'll tell you something else we need to do with our children, too. The last thing I want to talk about is, you know what? We have to show them an active faith in Jesus Christ. We have to show them that we have an active faith in Jesus Christ. If I went down here to the river, and it's froze out there right now, and I went and took measurements on that river, and I told you that that river was froze 2 foot deep, and I went and I asked Rick there, and Rick went and checked it too, and he said it was 2 foot deep. But you come down to the river, and we tell you that it's 2 foot deep, and you say, well, I believe you, but yet you won't walk on it. Is that act of faith? No. No. You know what God tells us? You know what God wants us to do? God wants us to step out. Amen. He wants us to step out. Faith is something, and you know, faith is that's the thing. And like it says over in Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that you know what? When we get down there, like I said, when you went down there and you looked at that ice, I told you all about it. But yet you say, I believe it, but you didn't step out on it. You're not having the faith to believe. You're just thinking you do. And I want you to know something. Kids will look at that. Whenever you have problems and trials in your life, whenever things come upon you in your life, and I want you to know this, and you do not have the faith in God that you should have, and maybe there's trouble comes, and you just throw up your hands and say, you know what? I can't handle this. I can't deal with this. You know what? God has let me down, and you walk away. You're showing your kids, and they're seeing that. And I want you to know something. They're going to keep that to the heart. They're going to keep it to heart, right? You got to show. Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. The Lord give and the Lord has taken away. But blessed be the name of the Lord. No matter what comes your way, if you still trust in God, I want you to know one of these days, your kids are going to see that, and you give them a hope and a trust that they will trust in God also. You You can do that. Matthew 5:45, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. I want you to know something, brothers. There's going to come trouble in your life. And you know what? Whenever it comes, because the Bible says, not if, whenever it comes, how do you handle it? How do you react? And you know what? Your kids are watching you. They're going to look at you, and they're going to say, well, if mommy and daddy threw up their hands one day, and they got upset, and they didn't want to go to church no more, and they didn't want to do this anymore, and they run from church to church to church, and they didn't want to do this, then you know what those kids are going to do one of these days? They're going to do the same exact thing, because you know what? The Bible says train up a child in the way that you would have it to go. And that's the way it's going to go. And it will do that. It will do that. I'm going to tell you, they're watching you. They're watching you in the rain. They're watching you in the sunshine. They're watching you. I tell you, I've seen too many people become bitter. I've seen it. I've seen too many throw up their hands over events in their life, whether it be divorce, whether it be sudden tragedy, death, financial. I've seen too many of them throw up their hands and say, you know what? I ain't doing this no more. It doesn't work. I've seen them do it. And you know what? Those pure little minds are watching them. The little eyes are watching them. And they're going to do the same thing one of these days when things get tough. They're going to do it. So many times later in their life, you know what? They need to be firm and strong, and they won't be. Because why? Because we've let them down. As parents, we have let them down. Show them a faith that will stand the test of time. Show them a faith that will do that. Show them something to stand upon. If you want, I tell you, I think I've used this analogy here before. If I went over to the steakhouse over in Ripley today, it's a Ponderosa, I believe it's Ponderosa, isn't it? And we walked in over there, and everybody over there was sucking on a bottle of milk. But they had a baby bottle in their mouth. And they were sucking. You'd look in there and you'd say, what in the world are these people? Are they nuts? Are they crazy? You would say that, right? And you'd have a right to. But you're all sitting there and you're thinking, man, is that the way it should be? And you know what? How's faith come to us? Faith comes to us by the Word of God, right? That's what it comes to. That's what it says. Faith comes to us by the Word of God. Hebrews 5:13 tells us about some things about us. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them by reason of use, for their sense exercised to discern both good and evil. I'll tell you what. It's time that we threw the bottles down. It's time we did that. And it's time that we grabbed a hold of the meat of God. And our children will see that. Our children can see that. And they'll know that we are the parents that we should be. Those children need the discipline. They need love. They need our time. And they need an act of faith in our life. Ed, I got to ask you a question, buddy. You're a good gardener. If you plant your garden here in a couple, 3 months, planted it real nice, didn't hoe it, didn't weed it, didn't do anything on it, and then went back to harvest it in September, what would you get, Ed?
The weeds have grown up.
All right. If you take your children and you don't cultivate their lives and you don't teach them right from wrong from the time they're little up through, what are you going to get when they're old enough, when the harvest comes? When you think, what are you going to get? I'll tell you what you're going to get. You're going to get weeds. You're going to get weeds. And then you're going to sub back and you're going to wonder, why, Lord, why? Because you didn't cultivate it the way God wanted you to. Because you didn't do what God wanted you to do in their lives. And you know what? You're going to be the one to blame. You're going to be the one that's going to stand before God one of these days. And I'll tell you, it isn't going to, you know what? We don't cultivate it. If we don't fertilize it with the Word of God and with prayer, and with faith, that's what we're going to get one of these days. I'll tell you what, we need boundaries set. We need them set, and they need to be firm, and you need to stick with them. One thing you don't need to do is make boundaries and just change them after a while. You don't change those boundaries. You keep them. They stay the way that you started out. Children look at that stuff. They know. They know. I'll tell you what, we need to do that. Praise God. Let's say, come and get a song this morning.